Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 2nd, 2010. You know, you can always find our updates with the news, our ministry, and this radio program at mbprophecyhour.blogspot.com. mbprophecyhour.blogspot.com. Well, saints out there, you know, here today we're having hurricanes and another oil spill. At the same time, it was pointed out to me, today we're having peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. You think there's a connection? I don't know. But anyway, saints, pray about supporting our mission church in Wichita tonight. We need your help because we help those who have very little or have nothing. You know what it's like to be out there on the street with no family and just having nothing, nobody to call on. You know, saints, I even hold the doable power attorney on some of these guys so that if they go to the hospital, and the hospital will unplug them for just no reason. If they can't find a family member or something and they've been freezing to death because of the cold, they'll get unplugged. So to stop that, they give me their doable power of attorney. So they'll trust me to be the one to unplug them. You know how hard that is to do? We'll pray about supporting our work in Wichita at the Mission Church. We could really use your help. Well, saints, also, if you're blessed by this program, when it comes to archives, share it with others. Or better yet, even have them listening into it again. It replays again on Sunday night for a replay at 7 p.m. Central. And you can go to American Voice Radio. You can just Google that and hit at 7 o'clock, hit their little buttons up there in front, and there will be the program. But these programs are important, so pray about supporting radio. You know, airtime does cost because this is an actual satellite radio program and not just live on the Internet. And we do these, saints, to warn the people because the world is in such great turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to come out of Babylon, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Make this choice tonight. It is the most important choice you've ever made in your life, is to be right with Messiah. Whether a bad time is coming or is here or what, you need to make that choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, and your prayer request or message. If you need a prayer or other things, you can always call this phone number. It's at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. Leave a message. Make sure you tell me what you want, and I'll get back to you. Or email me. Emails always get through, too, also. And if you leave your phone number on the email and tell me what you need, I'll get back with you. Anyway, and there's also our regular website, which is messiahsbranch.org, and you can donate online there, and you can also find our mailing address over there, because we do also take donations the old-fashioned way, by check or money order or on the Internet. Okay, now for a prayer before I bring on our guest tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out, and not what my guest wants or what I want, but what you want. And I thank you so much for our time with the world this week. Amen and amen. In the latter days, many things will come to light that we should have known all along. Tonight we will step into one of those things. We have a man who, while being a Christian, had never really stepped into the teaching, the oracles of our Father. Once started, he was taken on a journey that still is not over. Tonight we will share this journey with us as he tells us about his new book, His Hallowed Name Revealed Again. Welcome, Keith Johnson. Are you there with me, Keith?
Absolutely, I'm here, Dan. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Well, pray. Praise the Father. That sure was a good sounding shofar in the background, but I guess you already know that, don't you?
I love hearing it. It just reminds me of what happened to me. I've learned to blow it, so anytime I get a chance to hear it, it always excites me. So I appreciate you doing that.
Well, no problem. I love the shofar, too, and we blow the shofar in our church, in our gathering, just to call everybody to order, and before different parts of it. So I'm very used to the shofar, and of course I love it. Amen. Well, anyway, I know you've been on this program twice with Nehemiah Gordon, but a lot of people out there may be new listeners. So I think why don't you start by telling the folks a little about yourself and how you got on this incredible journey that you're on.
Well, it has been an incredible journey, and actually it started back in 2001 where I just was involved in ministry. I've been a long-time pastor. United Methodist pastor, involved in evangelism with Christian athletes and just doing a number of different things. And in 2001, I just had this sense that I needed to reach back into my studies from seminary. I went to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and studied Greek and Hebrew and all that. But one thing that I just felt called to was to restudy Hebrew. So for the next year, I did that. And then in 2002, that's when obviously I was being prepared for something really special.
Amen. Well, tell us what went on. I mean, how did you get to write? You wrote a book with Nehemiah, another book, a wonderful book with Nehemiah. Tell us about how you got hooked up with
him. Well, it's interesting. Nehemiah actually, he and I went through a little battle. I say that one argument I won because I when I met him, we would walk around and we were traveling around the old city of Jerusalem and we would be discussing the Bible and I'd have my, English Bible and he'd have his Bible he took out of his backpack. And there'd be times when we'd sit down and talk, and he would read a verse, and I'd read my verse in the English, and I'd realize, okay, there were differences there. Come to find out, about halfway through, I realized he was reading directly from Hebrew, and I always saw Hebrew as a reference tool, a very powerful reference tool, but not something that you carry around in your backpack. So as a result of seeing that and experiencing that with him, I just felt a level of conviction that, I had studied, obviously, Hebrew and Greek, but I had never really made it a language that I could interact with like that. So we started and crafted a relationship around the Hebrew Bible that really literally changed me, and I think he would say changed him also in a sense, because we began to learn from each other. Iron sharpens iron. So as you know that scripture, we got a chance to sharpen one another, and that led to us studying the Hebrew Gospel of Matthew, which we've talked about twice on your program, wrote a book, A Prayer to Our Father, Hebrew Origins of the Lord's Prayer. But back in 2002, I actually had written a private study called For His Name's Sake around this issue of the name, just because I had this encounter in Jerusalem. I like to say there were three things that I encountered. I encountered time, I encountered Torah, and I encountered the Tetragrammaton, which is an official word for his name. Mm-hmm. And those three things all had a radical change, a radical impact on my life, but his name was the one that probably, no question, was the one that most radically changed me. So in 2002, I wrote about this as a private study, and then last year, in the end of the summer, I just was arrested, literally, to sit down and to take everything I had learned over the last 7 years and rewrite it again. And with Nehemiah's help from what he had given me in 2002 and, of course, how we had studied together, I just took it to a different level, and that's why we have this new book, His Hallowed Name Revealed Again.
Okay, just briefly before we go on, for the folks, let's say that we have new listeners out there. Tell them who Nehemiah is and what his belief is in brief.
Absolutely. Nehemiah Gordon is a Hebrew scholar. He's got his master's and his undergraduate from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He is what's called a Karaite Jew. He is not Messianic. He is not Christian. He grew up in an Orthodox home, but found that as he learned about the oral traditions that he had come from, that all of them didn't necessarily match what he had read in Scripture. So he's become a Karaite, a scripturalist, and he looks at the Hebrew Bible and asks how he can live it. So that's who Nehemiah Gordon is. Wonderful information on Karaite Corner. If a person is interested in learning more about Nehemiah, he also has a couple Facebook pages on Nehemiah Gordon. But he has been a partner in studying Scripture together for all these years, and really we've both gone to a place that neither one of us could imagine. And then, of course, I came from a Christian background, United Methodist pastor, as I mentioned, evangelism. And so we're a real odd couple. He happens
right.
to be white. I happen to be an African-American or black. He happens to be a Jewish man. I come from the heritage of Christianity. And the two of us have been able to craft a relationship around the common ground of the Word of God.
Okay, well, let me say something. To most people looking at you, they'd say, what a pair. Just in a joking light.
Yeah.
But amen. As being a Messianic person, you know, I have to also kind of laugh with you in the respect of where you came from, because,
right.
you know, a lot of Christians, you know, it's hard for them to come at the path that you have came, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's kind of a bad rap on both of us. We have groups of people from both of our quote-unquote traditions that don't understand us and don't maybe think it's the best thing for me to be in a relationship for him and him to be in a relationship with me. But like I said, I think, Pastor Dan, if the more we talk, you'll understand, and hopefully your listeners will understand, is, you know, this word that we have, this living, breathing word that we have in the written scriptures is a place for us to meet, and that's for Jew and Christian alike. And I think if people really took an approach and understood what the Word of God really said and what it really meant, they would be surprised at what it calls us to do and who it calls us to be.
Amen. I agree. The you know, I read the Torah over and over as well as the New Covenant readings, but the more I read it, the more it just screams out at me. And I'll
yes.
talk about some wonderful things I found in the back of this book of yours in a minute. But I think maybe, why don't you tell us about this, and I would like to hear about this. What's this movie-like experience that you went through?
Well, what's interesting, and one of the things that I want to say, hopefully I'll say it a couple times today, I did put the first chapter of the book online at hishollywoodname.com.
Oh, amen. Go ahead.
Download it, send it to their friends, and what it does, it sets the context for why I'm writing about this. Let me say up front, I'm not interested in getting into the controversy regarding pronunciation or the controversy whether you should say his name or not. What I really, really was moved by was to be able to interact with two specifically ancient Hebrew manuscripts where I got a chance to learn about his name in that context and seeing his name actually written so that I could speak it. And that's what I really wanted to give people an opportunity to interact with. So this experience really was that I had asked many, many people, Jewish and Christian alike, believe it or not, that about the name, because I guess, and I'm not even sure when it first started, but of course as a pastor I'd lead people in the Lord's Prayer, and of course, I used to be a chaplain for the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
So every game we had before we went out on the field, we would, we'd say the Lord's Prayer. And there's that second line that says, "Hallowed be Thy name," and we kind of moved by it. I'd be moved by it, but something stopped me there, and to the point of me asking, "What is that name?" So I would ask. I went to Jewish people and said, "Could you tell me about the name of God?" And they'd usually say something like, "It's too holy to pronounce. It's too powerful for you to handle. It's too profound for you to understand, and therefore I'm prohibited from speaking it." Until I got to the old city of Jerusalem, where I had met Nehemiah the night before, which I talked about before on your radio show around the Torah
right.
scroll.
Folks,
but when I met him...
Let me say this. Folks,
yeah.
you can find those programs in our archives. There's two programs.
Yeah.
And go and listen to those later. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so what happened that was sort of like this movie-like experience... So I asked Nehemiah a question that I had asked several people, and I won't bore you with all of the responses that I had gotten, but when I got to him, I'm in the old city of Jerusalem, sitting across the western wall. I said, Nehemiah, can you tell me anything about the name of God? And he said, sure, do you have a piece of paper and pencil? And I'm like, what? And so we're writing down, he's giving me this technical explanation about consonants and vowels, and then as we're going through that at the end, I said, so how would you say it? And he just openly blurts out, according to the oldest, most complete Hebrew manuscripts that we have that are vocalized, meaning that would have consonants involved, he speaks it. When he speaks the name, it literally was as if we were just sitting there, and I look up, and there's a man who's got a prayer shawl with tzitzit and a shofar, and this man blows the shofar twice. Now, for me, I didn't understand what a shofar was. I didn't
right.
know what it was. I'm a good old-fashioned, you know, United Methodist pastor who's on this journey. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting across from one of the holiest, well, the holiest place in the universe on earth, across from the place where he placed his name. This Jewish man, who happens to be a Hebrew scholar, is opening up his Hebrew Bible He speaks the name, and then this man blows a shofar twice. That sound and that experience, for me, was like a movie, you know, where everybody freezes except for the two actors or the two people.
Right.
That's kind of what happened for me, and then that sent me on a journey from that day until today, where all I wanted to do was understand everything I could about his name, his purposes of his name, our opportunity to praise his name, proclaim his name, pray his name, and it's consumed me. I guess that's the best way of saying it.
Right. Well, amen. Let's back up. Now, while you were out on tour, I think we need to touch on this a little bit. You said that, you know, it's amazing how, you know, it took you to find Nehemiah before you could finally get somebody to pronounce a name to you. But when you were on tour, didn't you run even across a Jew that got up and left when you started to speak it, and then a Messianic man who wouldn't even look at it?
Yeah, and I didn't. I guess here's where my innocence, I guess, came in this. I have not been involved with Sacred Name Movement, Messianic Movement, anything that where anyone really was interacting with the name.
Mm-hmm.
So last summer when we started this tour, and I mean, at this point, it's the first time I'm speaking in a few years because I've been involved in study with Nehemiah and through the Biblical Foundations Academy. So I had not been out amongst the fellowships and the people and was not aware of the controversy around this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first places we were, I'm standing up saying what happened, and I'm just out there speaking the name. And here this a rabbi, actually, I believe he was a Reformed rabbi, got up and left. And our host told me that his reason was that he was uncomfortable with the name being spoken. And then we were in another place. We were in a Messianic congregation, and we were speaking to a man who said, "Why are you guys speaking the name?" So we started explaining it. And as I opened my Hebrew Bible to show him where it was placed, consonants involved, he literally got up and wanted to walk away because he said, "Tradition has told me that that name is not supposed to be addressed." And I think that, unfortunately, Pastor, that tradition has overtaken truth in this matter. And part of the reasons that I really wanted to write the book was to kind of hold up the biblical truth along with the tradition and let people kind of work through that information so that they could be inspired.
Okay, well, let me say something about tradition. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm a Christian. They don't really adhere to the Bible, but they have a background of being tradition, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they go by the whole Word of God, and that's the
right.
same with a Jew and even Muslims. You know, the people that say they're moderate Muslims aren't really Muslims. They just have a Muslim tradition because if they were, in fact, Muslims, they would be what we call extremists. And so these traditions were made, and I don't know if you ran across this, but with the rabbis, we call them, you know, their traditions was like fences around the Torah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely heard that, and actually there's some part of that I understand. You know, one of the things that we struggle with, I think, in a Christian tradition is there isn't always the kind of reverence that I believe that we're called to have, not only for the name, but for all things that are spiritual. He is holy, and those things that he has given us, to treat them as holy. And so sometimes, in some traditions, they're so far away from understanding that aspect that they tend to not tread lightly, with these things that are really important and very powerful. And then on the other hand, we have some people who are putting up those fences and trying to keep people and protect people from those things that are holy and in effect basically keep them away from some truth.
Right. Amen. But I think the word there that you have is protect them. I think the traditions were started out of, you know, for the most part, was out of good intentions and to protect them into doing something that they shouldn't have indeed done. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have examples of that. Unfortunately, we also have examples where because of assimilation, what I call external pressures, you know, situations that are not in line with the scriptural truth, power, control. I will say one thing that might be just a bit controversial, but I put it in the book. The thing that finally was sort of the final nail for me where I felt like I needed to write this information is that summer, last summer when we were out on tour, a man came up to me at the meeting, by the way, where the rabbi had gotten up and walked out, and he came up to me with a letter. And he said, have you seen this letter? And I said, what letter is this? And he says, it's a letter from the Pope regarding the speaking of the name of God, as he said. And what the Pope had written was that it had slipped in amongst some religious services where the name of God was being spoken, and he was reminding his Catholic flock that that should not be, and he gave reasons for why he prohibited people speaking the name. Well, I placed that letter in the book, and people can interact with it. But when I saw the Pope saying that he was standing up in 2008, I'd received a letter in 2009, declaring that it was that he was banning the pronunciation of the name, I thought to myself, if he can be that bold and aggressive banning it, certainly I can be that bold and aggressive enough proclaiming it according to the biblical truth.
Well, amen. I wholeheartedly agree. And I think one thing that the folks out there will discover from this book is, you know, even like I told you earlier before the program, you know, we read the Torah portion, you know, every week. So that means that we read the Torah over and over, you know, once a year we've read it over. And I was surprised at the back of the book where I found and you said it wasn't even all of them, but all the different listings of his name and the different meanings in different...
Absolutely.
Will you care to elaborate on that? You can explain
Absolutely.
It better than me.
You know, the thing that's been exciting, and I'll get to that, is that what I did was I really wanted to make this a practical book for people. So
okay.
What it is there's information, obviously. There's scholastic information in there, Hebrew information. But also there's a lot of inspiration. And the part that I think is really inspirational is the back, where I have an appendix where there are 80 different names and descriptions based on the Hebrew Bible that give declaration, understanding, character, a further what I'd call a picture of just who our Heavenly Father is according to what those words and those names are. And what I did is I added a CD, a 7-track CD, where people can learn these names, to speak them, to pray them, to proclaim them, to include them in their devotional life. And that's been something that I've heard a lot of people have really appreciated. Because what I do throughout the book is give people kind of the building of a foundation. The book starts, you know, where people can start learning little by little by little. And even if you're a person who says, hey, I don't really care what the pronunciation is, there's enough information in there just about the biblical understanding of his name and what that name means that I think people could really be, and I've heard many people that have been blessed by that.
Well, okay, let's go with this. It's almost break time. So
okay.
Real quickly, why don't you got about 30 seconds to tell us where your website is, and
yeah.
You can find the book over there naturally, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, officially the book is going to be launched on Wednesday, the 8th. But, of course, when you called and said you wanted me on, I thought, well, let's go ahead and talk about it now. But it's called hishollywoodname.com, and on there you can read the first chapter, download it, send it. You can hear some samples of the CD and just interact with the information that we have about it, hishollywoodname.com.
hishollywoodname.com. Well, folks, I strongly encourage you to go over there and have a look at the website and read it for yourself. But we got to go. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more from Keith Johnson.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's new salvation come.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us. AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023. Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landset.com. That's freezedryguy@landset.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Vitamin E prevents internal blood clots, but not all vitamin E is equal. Would you like to get a vitamin E that makes blood flow more smoothly than Plavix, but with no harmful side effects? 4-Spectrum Natural Unesterified Vitamin E Complex has been called WD-40 for your blood. It actually lubricates the blood while it dissolves plaque. It prevents platelet aggregation and internal clotting. It neutralizes smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35 postpaid, two bottles for only $60 postpaid. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through food processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us, spelled number 4spectrum.us. Call 800-581-8906. That's 800-581-8906. Order today.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor. And we're now back with Keith Johnson talking about his new book. And the name of that book, Keith, is?
His Hallowed Name Revealed Again. It's actually based on a book that Nehemiah Gordon and I did, A Prayer to Our Father, and we went through the Hebrew origins of the Lord's Prayer, and everyone knows that. Second phrase of that prayer, many people pray it over and over again. It says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or in Hebrew it says, Yitkadesh Shimcha, which means your name be sanctified. And then we move on, and oftentimes we don't know what the answer is to what that name is.
Well, a lot of people, you know, most people I don't know have even considered it, you know. They're taught something, but it was a great adventure. Why don't you let's just continue on with your story.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor. What I did do, and I need to just say here, I really, really feel extremely humbled and also privileged to have been in this relationship with Nehemiah, in that he has given me access to information that I, as a normal, average Christian pastor, would not have. I mean, I had to do a lot of work, and I had to do a lot of, there's a lot of humility in having to relearn and to understand my Bible in its original language, history, and context. But I feel privileged because we were in a kind of relationship where there was just information shared back and forth, and Nehemiah was very, very gracious. And as I say, he shared treasure with me. And I have to, again, just you know, to be able to say in humility how thankful I am that he did. But what I did over this last year is I started with a small group, gave the information to them, and got responses. Then I gave it away to 100 people, and then made a study available for about 500 people around the world. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you now, Pastor, the thing that probably encouraged me more than anything is the diversity of people that wanted to understand this information about his name. The responses were amazing. The input was amazing. And the book that now is available on our site is based on really 7 to 8 years of information, input, revisions, things that just have been a blessing. So that's why I'm excited about getting this book out to people so they can interact with the information that's available.
Well, maybe we're at the part of the program, and maybe, so many people out there say, well, you know, I have an English Bible, and it says God in it, and, you know, the name means so much more than just God. Why don't you go into some of those names, maybe?
Yeah. Well, here's one thing I would say, and I want to also say, too, I mean, you know, in order for me to do this, I had to interact with the English translations, and there are many differences in translations based on what's original, and there's agenda that sometimes comes across in those translations. One of the things that probably most people are aware of, but maybe haven't really gone much deep into, is that we've got a name, a personal name, that shows up in our quote-unquote Old Testament 6,828 times. 6,828 times, which means that name shows up more than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and if you include from Jesus in the New Testament, that name shows up more than anywhere. But what we do in our English translation is we've taken a title, two different titles, and placed those titles over that personal name. So the title we use often is Lord, and another title that we use actually for the name is God. And the way you can usually tell in your English Bible whether the Hebrew word behind that word God or Lord is if you see all capital letters, L-O-R-D, or all capital letters, G-O-D, more than likely your English translation will tell you that the reason that they've capitalized those English letters is because this is the personal name of God, but we can't talk about it. So that's one of the things that I like to share with people, and there's example after example where you'll see, again, it'll be a capital G, and then the capital letter O and the capital letter D, and sometimes italicized and sometimes not, but that is actually the English title given to cover over the tradition that we learned from my Jewish brothers and sisters not to pronounce the name.
Right, but the Bible specifically says we are to call upon his name.
Oh, absolutely.
We are to use his name.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's, you know, that doesn't take a long time for people. You know, you can start in the beginning of your Bible, and, you know, you'll get to the book of, first of all, right in Genesis chapter 2, I think it is verse 4, is the first time even in English, in the first chapter you'll hear God, which is English over Elohim, and then you'll see Elohim connected with this four-letter word, four-letter name, which in Hebrew would be Yud, He, Vav, He, or the four letters. Those four letters next to Elohim, in English we say Lord God. So, and again, you're right. Over and over again in the Scriptures we find that his name is to be praised and proclaimed, and there's just many, many promises regarding his name.
Well, amen. So, you know, technically, you know, a lot of people might say that, I don't necessarily want to use his name because that's a Jewish thing. But from what you're saying and what we're hearing right now, actually, by using the word God, we're actually following the Jewish tradition.
Yeah, and actually, I want to just say, too, one of the things that's very sad for me is that the anti-Semitism that exists amongst my Christian brothers and sisters who say anything Jewish means bad, not even understanding that the one whom they call Jesus or Yeshua was Jewish and was preaching and teaching to a Jewish audience. So first of all, one of the things I try to address is just that anti-Semitism that exists. I am sad. I'm saddened by that. But then the other part of it is, with my Jewish brothers and sisters who've taken tradition for reasons that they would say are important to them, our Christian brothers and sisters have taken that tradition, even though they may not take other traditions, taken that one tradition and placed it throughout our English Bible. So, you know, I guess my point is that if we can kind of unpeel some of that, get behind some of that, we'll find a blessing for both Jewish and Christian people that the creator of the universe, the most awesome and amazing one, who when I think about how big and how awesome he is, has provided his intimate name to us. If we just do a little digging, it'll bless you, bless your socks off.
Amen. Well, I don't know what you want to go into next, but I know that you do have something. This is on the subject that you're on. You said something very interesting about the left and the right hand.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have a friend. I told I've written about this, and actually this was placed in the book also. I've got this friend who works at the UPS store, and I went in to go and take care of my little writing that you do. You fill out those shipping forms. And I write sloppy, and my friend says, "I write sloppy too." And he says, "Because I was born left-handed, but I was trained because of tradition, suspicion that the left hand was cursed. They trained him from a young age that he had to write with his right hand. Come to find out, later in life, his father finally tells him, 'Why don't you try your left hand?'" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, you were actually born left-handed." So one of the little images that I use is that we as people that have this heritage in the Word, we've been given the left hand, and unfortunately, that sometimes is seen as Jewish, Hebrew roots, etc., and so we get our hand slapped and told, "Nope, use the other hand." What I challenge people to do is to be able to use both, and I call the left hand that Hebrew origin, that sort of left-brain thinking, creative language part of us that we can actually begin to just kind of delve into that, and I just find that as we do that, you know, a whole world opens up to us.
Yes, amen. I agree. I found, you know, I keep going back to this, but you know, we keep rereading and rereading and rereading, and if the more we read and the more we study, the more we get so much more out of the book, and mm-hmm. then we understand what they're saying better in the New Testament. Then,
yeah.
And so you know, it makes everything more wonderful, and that's what this will do, this study. But I'm afraid that it will. In a sense that we'll just start them on a journey.
Yes. And you know what? You're right. I call it one of the doors. I mean, if you walk through the door of his name, if you walk through the door of time, if you walk through the door of Torah, I have seen over and over in Scripture this theme that any one of these three things will get you to a place where you will begin to look around and ask yourself, so what have I been doing? You know, what has, you know, almost like you feel like you haven't learned anything. And yet I don't want people to be discouraged. I believe that God has this ability to use everything in our lives to work it all together for where he wants us to be. And what I've appreciated about delving into the history, language, and context and culture of my Bible, which actually was given, though most people know this, but they don't always acknowledge it, you know, the Bible wasn't written originally in English. It was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, some parts in Aramaic. We even know there are some parts of the New Testament. Of course, Hebrew Matthew, we strongly believe that we have one of the witnesses, not saying it's the original of Hebrew Matthew, but we know that there were some parts of the New Testament that were written in Hebrew. And yet we've got this filter that says, because it's Hebrew, that means Jewish, and we've been trained and we've been conditioned to see that as bad. And we're missing a huge blessing by not reaching out our hands and grabbing a hold of our brothers and sisters across the street or in those other places that can help us in the process, as Nehemiah has helped me in a way that I'll never be able to match for what he's done for me by being his willingness to share with me.
Amen. And you know what's so interesting about all this is because of your background. You know, you're not somebody that started off and you just learned you know, how to be messianic or so to speak,
no.
In a sacred name movement or anything like that. You were you know, a Presbyterian. Is that what you said, minister?
United Methodist. Almost.
United Methodist.
Almost.
Okay, almost close, but no Cupid doll.
Yeah,
but
right.
Anyway,
yeah.
But you see my point. You took this journey, and this the Lord led you on this journey, and it wasn't like nothing you set out to do or anything,
no.
And it was as he gave it to you. And again, so, you know, it's something that will empower the people more, is what I mean. You know, sure we get saved by our Bible and you know, with an English translation of it, amen. But there is such much greater things when you get into a deeper and deeper study. I know some people may just read their Bible once in their life.
Right.
We reread it over and over and over because there's just so much there. What about this young Nathan and the blessing?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting. This actually came as a result of some people who went to the study with me during that 6 or 7 months. There were people who asked, so what about this issue of Paleo-Hebrew versus what we know to be the Assyrian script of Hebrew? So I was doing some study on that and actually came across this story, wonderful story, about this young man named Nathan who was brought on an archaeological dig, and I believe it was 1979 outside of the old city of Jerusalem. And he was kind of a nuisance to the archaeologist, so he would push him off into the corner, and he'd say that this Nathan, by the way, Nathan from Natan meaning to give, Nathan would pull and tug at this guy's shirt and ask questions and just pull and tug and pull and tug. So he finally puts him off into a corner, and Nathan's over there bored by himself, away from the group, banging on a floor. As he's banging on this floor and cleaning this floor, it breaks open, and he looks down, and there's this an area down there that was covered up. Come to find out that down in that area they found two silver scrolls, and these two silver scrolls went all the way back to the time of around Jeremiah, and it's the oldest reference to the name of God that we have. It was in Paleo-Hebrew based on the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, that blessing, well, they find this scroll, they take about 3 years to open it up without damaging it, and there is this blessing from Numbers 6 on it. So that was something, and one of the reasons that I love that story is that I believe people have to be willing to be like Nathan. Dig, pull, bang, dig, pull, bang, and we'll find the discovery of his name. And I cannot tell you how much I want to encourage people not to get caught up in the controversy and all of those issues, but rather the gift that we've been given by our Heavenly Father. When Yeshua prayed the prayer, he said this, "Our Father who is in heaven, your name be sanctified." He didn't even say, now this is controversial, Pastor, he didn't say in this one prayer that he taught everyone, "Our Father in heaven, my name be sanctified." He said, "Your name be sanctified." And as we go on further, we understand a little bit more about what that means. I even added a bonus chapter in the back of the book on what about the name Jesus, because so many people want to understand the root of his name and how it's connected to the Father's name.
Right.
So hopefully people will even if they get to the book, they'll choose to read the bonus chapter and even be better equipped to understand what that meant.
You know, one thing that you brought up, something very interesting, a lot of people don't understand. One of the first things I find about a lot of people, they pray to Jesus, or they just pray to Yeshua, either one. But the point is that Messiah said, in that day that you ask me nothing, but you ask of me in my Father's name, that's when you'll receive it. So he tells us not to pray to him, but to pray to the Father in his name.
Here's one thing that I have to just say, and I want to make sure that I get this across really clearly. The biggest surprise for me, Pastor Dan, as we went to different fellowships, is I understood that people had dug in on different traditions, different understandings, even things that they had heard from different people regarding the name or the name of Jesus or whatever. But when I would interact with them about either linguistic information, contextual, cultural, Hebrew information, I could not believe how little information they actually had, and a lot of it was based on what someone had told them. What I want to do in this book, what I'm trying to do is just like my friend Nehemiah did with me. He gave me the information. He allowed me to interact with it and come to my own conclusion. I really strongly believe that this is the kind of information that people need to be in prayer about, they need to be diligent about, they need to be focused about, and they have to have a mind that's open to say, okay, as I'm interacting with biblical information, am I willing to let it inspire me to maybe even change some of my approach to Scripture.
Well, amen. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? It's changed. You know, there are times, Pastor, where I have to get up and walk away from my Bible. There is such depth in the Word of God. There are times when I have to shut it, walk away, and say, what did I just read? And I don't want this sort of arrogance to become across like, oh, you know, the Hebrew and the only way you can... No. I believe a person who's willing just to take the first step, just the littlest part of opening up one little aspect, I just believe that Father will do for them what he did for me. And that was he began to open my mind and my heart and my spirit to wanting to understand his word in its original language, history, and culture and context, and it has changed my life. This book is sort of like my way of saying, as a second step from the wonderful opportunity I had with Nehemiah to write the first book we wrote, this is my second step to that book. For people who said, we got enough here, I'm sorry, we didn't get enough here on this issue of the second phrase, this is a way to give them that which I've received on this important phrase on Yitkadesh Shimcha, your name be sanctified, which is a call to action.
Well, you know, in a sense, the first book left me for one, hanging, wanting more.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, Nehemiah and I, we had a conversation about this today. You know, we believe that on each one of those phrases, we could write a book. And I'm hoping that he'll hear this interview and do that also. Because each one of those phrases, the depth on each one of those phrases, our Father in heaven, what does it mean, our Father? Well, we talk about it, but each one of those phrases is a volume. So I'm hoping that we'll continue to do this. Again, this is a follow-up to our book, which has been well-received by people around the world. I'm hoping that people will look at the prophetic side of his name being proclaimed, which you probably know. That part that you talk about in your program, I don't know where we're at in history. I think we've at least moved into a different chapter, and it just seems like that as he is giving us, as we're going through the travail and the difficulty, he's also encouraging us. And I think one of the things that we know is that in that last day, Zechariah says, he will be king over the earth, and he will be one, and his name will be one. So we might as well know that name now in preparation for when his name will be one. Amen?
Amen. Well, so now, after your book release, are you going out on tour? What are you going to do?
Well, there's a few things going on. One is one thing that I'm extremely, extremely excited about. Nehemiah and I have been invited to a few actual Jewish community centers where we get a chance to share on our book, A Prayer to Our Father, Hebrew Origins of the Lord's Prayer. Also, starting Wednesday, I'm going to be introducing this book, and hopefully there will be people that will be interested in either doing a workshop, inviting me to come. You know, maybe they might be invited, both of us. Maybe Nehemiah would be willing to come also and help in presenting. But I basically said, as the doors are open, I'm going to go, and that's what we've said since we did our first book. So we've got two books now and others that are coming, I'm convinced, that really can be a blessing and a gift to the people of God.
Well, I for one, feel that you have a lot more coming, but, you know, you're going to have to be doing some talking about this one first.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm committed to it.
Folks, if you haven't got the first book, the first book was what, Hallowed Be His Name? Or
the first book is A Prayer to Our Father, Hebrew Origins of the Lord's Prayer. And they can go online, aprayertoourfather.com, and we've got so many interviews, radio, television. They can read some of the book. They can hear the prayer. And by the way, just brand new today, we actually just posted on A Prayer to Our Father a young man named Andrew Hodkinson from South Africa who actually has come up with an original musical rendition to the prayer in Hebrew. It's very, very powerful. I hope people would listen to that. That's their first book. And then, of course, this book, as I call it, a follow-up to that second phrase, which is at our site, hishallowednamed.com, where people can you know, read some information, interact with some information. And the other thing that we do on both sites, anybody that wants to talk to Nehemiah, myself, or both of us, you can go to either of those sites and send a message through A Prayer to Our Father or hishallowednamed.com, and you can contact us, and we do directly speak to people, and that's one of the things that we've been doing for the last year and a half.
Well, that's amazing. You know, so many, not very many people do that. You go online, and I know for one, I'll be going to search for a radio guest or something, and I'll see a good book, and it says contact us, and I'll email them, and I'll get, you know, three people back before they'll ever turn me on to the person that I wanted to talk to.
And let me say this, too, so they have it. Keith@aprayertoourfather.com, KEITH@aprayertoourfather.com. That email comes directly to me. And then, of course, if you forget that and you say, what was that book about, A Prayer to Our Father, or His Hallowed Name, just say the Lord's Prayer, and you'll get to the second phrase. And that's the name of the book that's just coming out this coming Wednesday. At a really interesting time, by the way, you know, this upcoming week, some people call it Rosh Hashanah. Other folks call it Yom Teruah. There's issues on which day it's going to be. But I look at the entire week as an opportunity to have a day of shouting, a day of proclaiming, a day of mentioning. So I'm real excited that it's being released at that time, you know, because people will be blowing shofars, and
yeah,
that brings
amen.
Me back to what happened for me when I heard the sound of the shofar being blown.
Amen. I love the sound of a shofar, and those are, you know, new beginnings. Some of you folks out there listening, try this phrase: a new year, happy new year. So.
Yeah,
and then right after that, we have all the holidays coming here in September. I can't wait till the Feast of Tabernacles. That
Absolutely.
Is the only time of the year, you know, other than the weekly Sabbath, that I take a break. But we will be, I'm going to pre-record all my radio programs for that week, and I'm going to go gather with people in another state for a week.
Amen.
And actually rest. I'm not taking a computer with me or nothing.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not. I refuse to.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing we do. You know, we live in Charlotte, and so during the time of the coat, you know, we set up our booth out there, and I actually go out there and get a chance to sleep under the stars. One of the things that's so powerful, I got to tell you this, this is a little sidelight, but I didn't realize this until a few years ago. You know, the beginning of the month starts, and then at the middle of the month, around the middle of the month, is when we have Sukkot. So people are sometimes out sleeping, and certainly in Jerusalem they are. You sleep outside, and you wake up in the middle of the night. And do you know that the full moon is there all night?
Yeah, amen.
It's like he leaves the night light on for us.
I agree. I'll tell you what, you know, just real briefly, because I only got about a minute left before I have to tell you goodbye, but I live in a small town and out in the country, and it's always dead quiet out here. And when there isn't a new a moon out there like that, it's just like pitch dark, and my office is like 100 foot from my house.
Yeah.
And I'll go stumbling in the dark through there, but sometimes the Lord blesses me and leaves the light on. So,
I got
to tell
you,
I think you ought to give us your website again one more time, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye and
I sure appreciate it. It's hishallowednamed.com. There's a free chapter there they can read and download. Also, we're on Facebook at His Hallowed Name with a group. A Prayer to Our Father.com, a chance for people to interact with us there. I am thankful that you invited me early before the launch, and anytime you want me on, I definitely will come back. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Okay, I'll take you up on that, and I'll keep track of what you're doing, and if you're doing anything new, let me know.
All right,
in the meantime, I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you, my brother.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Shalom. Bye-bye.
Well, praise the Lord. We have a... Have you been listening to our radio programs on Sunday night? They're on at 8 p.m. Central, and we started having new guests on there. This week we're going to have a really interesting guest. The topic was supposed to be the Ground Zero Mosque or 9/11 Mosque, and we went through a lot of very interesting things. And so that'll be a new program on at 8 p.m. Central, right after this program replays on ABR. You got ABR 1 and ABR 2, just go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com. I think it's AmericanVoiceRadio.com. Just Google American Voice, and you'll find out all the information you want. And American Voice has got a lot of great programs on over there, besides mine, of course. But this isn't mine anyway. It belongs to the Father. But go over there and have a look. And, I pray that you're blessed. Now, remember, folks, you know, that you're always supposed to be a blessing to each other. You know, I ask you to support our ministry, to help the homeless and the poor. But you know what? You should be doing that right where you're at anyway. And that kindness and love should go out first to your family and your immediate family and then extend out. Everywhere you go, you're supposed to be, people look at you, and they when they look at you, they want to see your Savior in you. And so, you know, if you... you got to represent that. You got to be kind to others. You got to love others. But it's got to come naturally. And it only comes naturally by letting yourself die and allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you. Nobody but nobody gets to heaven but through the Son. The Son and then to the Father. Well, I got to go. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord blesses you and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace until the first day of the week. This is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch. Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landsat.com. That's freezedryguy@landsat.com or call 530-265-8333, 530-265-8333, and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.